Let's bow our heads now for a time of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we celebrate with your people today around the world that joyful news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we know that this news is good news. We need good news. We need trustful news. We need eternal news that is written, that is sure, that will last forever. Lord, we are all separated and feeling isolated, but we know we're not alone. And so we've gathered in your name, and we know that in your name you have promised to be with us, and we give you thanks for that. We're one people in the power of your Spirit. We are inseparable as the body of Jesus Christ. And so with one voice, we lift in prayer those who are in greatest need among us right now. We pray for those who are sick and for those who may have lost a loved one even. Lord, we pray for those who work in the medical community and for doctors and nurses, and ask that you give them strength. We pray for our leaders, for our president, for our governor, for those who give advice and direction and who have important decisions to make for us as a nation. We pray for those who are out of work and for those whose businesses are struggling. And we know that the future seems uncertain and that many are starting to experience more need right now. We ask that you provide and help us to share with others. For those, Lord, suffering from the fatigue of isolation, we pray that you will give comfort and rest. We pray that nerves that might be getting frayed will be calmed, and that you'll give us patience when our patience runs short. Lord, we want to have the freedom again to travel and to visit and to see others that we miss. Help us to persevere. And Lord, we've been reminded of how important the family is. We know that you designed us to be together in families. And when everything else in society seems to be breaking down, it's the family that we have to turn to. And that's where we go. Lord, we pray for those who don't have a family to be with, or where that family place is dangerous or harmful. We ask that you give protection and help. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ and for the forgiveness that he provides for us, for the eternal life that is ours through him, because he has risen from the dead. And so we celebrate and give you praise today for that great truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we continue to persevere through this season, and I hope you are well, that your family is well. It was good to see so many out this morning, and just to be able to wave and to say Happy Easter. I realized just how much I need to be able to see others, and I think we all do, and we're looking forward to getting back together again. We all need haircuts as well. I guess it's kind of like the Nazarite vow we've all been put under, I guess, at this point, as our hair gets longer, and we wait for things to reopen. But we're all finding ways to make the most of the time that we have, and I hope that that your families are doing well. If you were with us already this earlier today at the drive-in, you heard this message already, but it's an important one. And so I wanted to share it as well with our listening audience online. And it comes from John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So Jesus spoke these words to Martha. Martha was the brother of Lazarus, and Lazarus had just died of some illness. We don't know what the illness was, but he had died, and Martha had hoped that Jesus would save him, but now she's brought to him the news that her brother is dead. And Jesus assures her that her brother will rise again. But when he says this, he reveals something much more. He's speaking about much more than just Lazarus when he speaks these words, "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." What did he mean when he said that? That everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Because everyone who lives does die. We all face death. No one is safe in this world. So what does it mean for Jesus to say that everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die? What he means is that everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die the second death. The second death. We all need to know that when the Bible speaks of death, there are two deaths. There's the first death, and then there is also the second death. And the two are very different. So in this time that we have right now, I want to explain the first death as well as the second death, and then what Jesus has done for us and what he means when he says, "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." The first death is the death we all face in this present life. It comes when our body can no longer keep up, when we can't get enough food into our stomachs, or we can't get enough air into our lungs, or we can't get enough blood to our brains. And this first death comes to all of us, and for some it comes quickly. For others, it comes slowly. For some, it might be early in life. And for others, it might be more than 100 years before it hits. But all of us face this eventually. The first death also shows no partiality. It strikes the just and the unjust. It hits the faithful and the unfaithful, the kind and the cruel. And we could hasten it or delay it by some of the lifestyles we choose or the decisions that we make. But there's no guarantees. If you stopped 100 people on the street, once we're no longer social distancing, and you ask them, "What is death?" I think 99 out of 100 would describe to you this first death. Certainly the first death is what is on many people's minds right now. But I think that that fear of the first death will soon begin to fade again. And it's not going to be long before we go back to eating out at restaurants and following our favorite sports teams and traveling about and seeing others. But when Jesus said, "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die," he wasn't speaking of the first death. He was speaking about the second death. The second death. The Bible teaches us that after the first death, there is a resurrection, and that resurrection will involve both the just and the unjust. Everyone. Everyone will be raised to some kind of life again. Now, I'm not going to get into the details right now of just what that's going to be like, or the sequence and all that, but Jesus told us in John 11:26, that those who live and believe in him will not die again. So for those who have lived and believed in him, their new life will be eternal. But for others who did not live and believe in Jesus, they will face what the Bible calls here the second death. And Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15 describe that death. "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The first death is bad, but the second death is much worse. The first death is temporary, but the second death is eternal. The first death is because our world is broken and out of order. The second death is because we are broken and in rebellion against God. But there's good news. Because while the first death is unavoidable, the second death has a remedy. While the first death is already guaranteed to come, unless Christ should return, sooner or later, we're going to face that first death. But the second death has an antidote. It has a vaccine, if you will. That remedy, that antidote, is one of the main reasons we celebrate on Easter Sunday, because the remedy is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The spiritual disease of sin and rebellion that leads to eternal death has a cure. One cure. That cure is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, that he carried the disease for us, and now his blood contains the cure. The remedy is summed up in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, which says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, if we believe that Jesus is Almighty God and that he rose up from the tomb that first Easter Sunday, and if our aim in life is to follow him instead of our old sinful ways, then we're promised in God's word to have our names written in that book of life described there in Revelation. And we will never face the second death. When it comes to the first death, you know, we might be smart enough or wise enough or strong enough to delay it for a while if things go our way. But none of us are smart enough, wise enough, good enough to protect ourselves from this second death. All our best efforts fall hopelessly short. But we don't need to rest in what we do, because Jesus has done it for us. He has risen from the dead. Eternal life is a free gift from God. And so it's a special day in which we shout together, thank you, Lord. Thank you for rising. Thank you for giving us this life. A lot of people right now are looking back through the pages of history at a time in America's history and in the world's history, 100 years ago, when the Spanish flu swept around the world and many, many millions died at that time. And churches were required to close their doors just as they are now. And so many churches went a month or more without being able to hold services. And I found an article this week about a church in Portland, Oregon. In October of 1918, they weathered the pandemic there. The pastor, W.B. Hinson, wrote letters to the congregation and sent them out each week to try to encourage them and keep them together and focused on the word. And it's just fascinating to me as I read these letters. So much of what they did 100 years ago is very similar to what we're doing now, except they didn't have the technology that we have, but they were still sharing the same thoughts, the same ideas, wrestling with some of the same problems. And Pastor Hinson really led his congregation well through that time. But then shortly after the flu pandemic passed, the pastor contracted a different disease and his life was cut short. But shortly before he died, W.B. Hinson wrote these words. He said, I walked out to where I live, 5 miles from Portland, Oregon, and I looked across at that mountain that I love. I looked at the river in which I rejoice, and I looked at the stately trees that are always God's own poetry to my soul. Then in the evening, I looked up into the great sky where God was lighting his lamps, and I said, I may not see you many more times, but mountain, I shall be alive when you are gone. And river, I shall be alive when you cease running toward the sea. And stars, I shall be alive when you have fallen from your sockets in the great downpouring of the material universe. You know, Pastor Hinson knew deep in his soul that because of Jesus' love and because of his resurrection from the dead, he would not face this second death, that he would live eternally with God. That's what Jesus meant when he said to Martha those words of promise, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you live and believe in Jesus today? That's the question that matters most of all. That's the question that will decide eternity for you. The first death is unavoidable, but the second death is still to be decided. If Jesus rose again, as the Bible says he did, then his word is true. He can be trusted. And running through his veins is the power to save us. If you're ready to receive his remedy today, then pray with me this prayer. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I can't do anything to save myself. I need your forgiveness and your mercy. I now see that Jesus died for me and that he rose again from the dead so that I can be saved from the second death. I trust you and I thank you. Help me to follow your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that if you had not prayed that prayer before, you have made that true today, that that is the desire of your heart. That is what we are celebrating together this Easter, the salvation that Jesus Christ brings. Let us know if you have made that decision to trust in Jesus. We want to celebrate with you. We want to encourage you and guide you along life's road as we look and pray, look to the Lord and praise him together. At this time, we're going to sing another song, He Lives. He Lives.